Blog Talk Radio.
Time with Pastor Steph.
With Pastor Steph. How are you this morning? That's what I like to hear. That's what I like to hear. For this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. So, where were you all week? We started shaking the Monday morning blues with the Due Time crew. As we talked about, my husband is 14 years older than me, and oh, there are some things I wish I had thought about when it came to this age gap relationship. Well, one of the things, making new friends was going to be a little more difficult as a couple than I thought because, hey, there's an age difference, so you can't expect to, you know, make friends like it was like you and your girlfriend and your college people. No. The other thing she said she didn't think of was that there would be like some awkwardness when it came to this 14-year-old age gap. Well, hello. You know, you're just starting college, and he's about to retire and get a Social Security check. So there are things that, you know, we just don't think about when it comes to these relationships sometimes. Oh, the other story that we talked about, I don't know what goes on with people. Well, a gentleman, after being married for 20 years to his childhood sweetheart, says that when he came out as transgender, his wife didn't have any more attraction to him. Well, not when you were transitioning. Yeah, when you started taking hormone replacement pills and you went from being this big muscle-building individual to now sharing lipstick. No, it's not going to be the same. So, you know, I don't know what these people think will happen when you start to change. When you begin to change and you change the dynamics of your relationship, then the dynamics of your relationship change. So, I don't know. Maybe you could figure it out, but I have not been able to figure out why they can't figure it out. Well, it would not be a Monday if we did not get the tip with Shantice. Well, the switch tip this week, be on alert. Well, it always seems to go along with our stories. And, yes, you need to be on alert
for the relationship shifts when things shift. When you shift the relationship, guess what? Your relationship is going to shift. And, you know, you're going to have to think about all the little things that go on the inside. You know, everything does not show up on the outside. And then there are things that show up on the outside that indicate what's happening on the inside. You know, so come on, you also have to be alert for the enemy. The enemy is going to show up in any shape, form, or fashion in order to distract you, in order to, you know, really get in your head. And I don't mean the enemy is in your head. So pay attention, because the enemy cannot get in your head. But the enemy will be in your head by influencing you with all the things that are around you. So come on, come on, come on. Be on alert. The enemy is lurking, seeking who he can kill, steal, and destroy from. Okay? All righty. Well, we moved on to Let's Talk About a Tuesday Church Folk Day. And oh, my. We talked to our panel about the woman who wrote into TikTok about her son who came home from kindergarten, 5 years old, and they were playing pretend salon, and he had on fingernail polish. Well, she thought it was fine, no problem. You know, they're playing in school. Well, Dad did not enjoy that idea. No, not at all. She was really upset because when Dad came home and spotted his son with fingernail polish on, he lost it and threatened to call the school. And she wrote into the TikTokers and asked, you know, was she the one who lost it, and they said no. Well, what did you think was going to happen? Men don't generally take too kindly to their boy childs, you know, wearing skirts and dresses and things like that. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, there's this concept that, well, they're kids and, you know, they're just playing. Well, what was the switch tip? Be on alert, because that's how the enemy infiltrates. Remember, these children can go to school these days and tell the school who and what they are, and the parents are none the wiser. So you need to pay attention to everything that your children get involved in. Pay attention to everything that your children do, because today it's fingernail polish, and not for every child, but tomorrow it's the dress, the next day it's the lipstick, the next month it's the high heel shoes, and before you know it, he's completely playing dress up and later saying that he always felt like a little girl. So, you know, again, this is not everybody's destination, but it happens over and over again. So, come on. Let's make sure we stay on alert. Well, Wow Wednesday rolled around, and we got to talking to our girls Vivian and Shantice, as Vivian gave us a socially conscious segment about the pizzeria that was across the street from the school and was busted for selling crack, heroin, fentanyl, and all kinds of drugs. And again, you know, this is not the first time we've heard this. And unfortunately, you know, we have to watch where our children go. We all know how the pizzeria stays jam-packed after school. Well, we also talked about the NTA supervisor who was fired for taking multiple flights to Florida while on the clock. On the clock, yeah. He claims that he didn't realize that he was still on the clock when he was traveling to Florida. How? How are you going to work that one out? Okay, well, we have to really be careful of the things that we say, because we have to understand that not everything makes sense to people, because it doesn't make sense, period. Alrighty. Well, the ladies got to talking about ways to show respect for yourself. And one of the things that we talked about was being responsible for your own spiritual growth and your own emotions. Yes. You know, you can't leave that and give that to someone else. Those are two things that you really got to make sure that you are on top of, because that's your relationship. That spiritual growth is your relationship with God. And you surely cannot put that into the hands of others. No way in the world. No way in the world. Okay? One of the other things that we talked about was understanding that your nutritional needs affect and show how you respect yourself. Yeah. You know, we go over health tips all the time here on It's Due Time, and I have to tell you, it really helps us to focus on, you know, the things that we eat, the stuff that we ingest and put into our bodies. And we really have to make sure that, you know, the things that we eat affect our mind, our body, and our spirit. And where do you think that comes out to? Absolutely. Okay, so let's make sure that we show our self-respect on all different levels, because people are always watching us. Okay, alrighty. Well, yesterday was Therapeutic Thursday, and oh, we had a really good conversation with the Due Time crew about healthy versus toxic relationships and the indicators, and how people have, you know, been in toxic relationships and didn't really realize they had been in toxic relationships until they were in healthy relationships. Not only that, but, you know, you don't really appreciate certain things until you're no longer in it. All right? It was an excellent conversation to be had, and I advise you to go back and listen to the entire week. It's been a phenomenal week. It really, really has, over here on It's Due Time with Pastor Steph, okay? Well, today is Freestyle Friday, yes. And we get to do whatever we want to do over here. Well, talk to the men is basically what we do. So I'm definitely looking forward to it, as we have come all the way from Monday. It's been live and on point over here. And I'm expecting today to be just as good. So, you know, go ahead and get that healthy breakfast. Go ahead and tell somebody that It's Due Time with Pastor Steph is on. And whatever you do, don't go anywhere, because we will be right back.
Who has time to get a mammogram? I get it. You're busy. There's work. There are kids or grandkids to look after. You have so many things to take care of. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I'm joining Lifetime to ask you to take a moment to put your health first. Get your mammogram. It might save your life, and nothing on your to-do list is more important than that.
Good morning and good morning again. Welcome back to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. And it is Freestyle Friday. Yes, we made it. We made it. By the grace of God, we made it, y'all. Yes. And only. By the grace of God, we're even here in our right frame of mind, just even thinking about anything sane, thinking about what we're going to do for the weekend as God spares our life, if he should spare our life, and, you know, thinking about what we may have gone through during the week. But regardless of what you've gone through, we have really been on the blessed side of life, and we really have so much to be grateful for. So much to be grateful for, and I'm ready to get our morning started. Alrighty. Well, you know how we do. I try to keep it entertainment, who knew, in my arsenal for Friday mornings. And I came across this article, and I was like, yes, I want to talk about this, because as you know, this is 50 years of hip-hop, and, you know, we've been celebrating all year. Well, I didn't, you know, I wasn't a part of that. I started catching up on the latter part of the year. But there was an article about Crush Groove. Remember that? Crush Grooving. Yeah. And we, you know, we had a whole lot of actors back then who turned out to be, you know, somebody later. Well, if I can remember correctly, Crush Groove was about Russell Simmons and his rise to fame. Yeah. And how he got, you know, all his little acts underneath his, label. And his relationship and all that kind of good stuff. So, I mean, it was back in the day where, you know, some of these actors were like, you know, really just getting started. A lot of them had no acting skills, no acting experience. And they have this article, Where Are They Now? And I was like, yes, because immediately I remembered one major player in this movie, and he is huge right now, so I couldn't wait to get started. Well, where's director Michael Schultz? Yeah, he was the one who was responsible for directing Crush Groove. He also directed Coolie High, Car Wash, busting loose with Richard Pryor. And I was like, well, he must be like 100 years old right about now. But guess what? Well, he is still directing. Yeah. He is still directing. And he recently directed The Wonder Years. Now, I don't know if any of you know, but The Wonder Years they've done like a reboot, but they've done it with Our Side of the Fence. Yeah. So I've never watched it because I've never been the Wonder Years person, but I mean, it might be about something. Never know. Never know. So Michael Schultz is still hanging around. Well, one of the main players of Crush Groove, I don't know if y'all even remember this, Blair Underwood. Yes, nappy-headed Blair Underwood, who was straight mediocre during the movie. This was one of his very, very, very first movies. And he portrayed Russell Walker. And we all know that Blair Underwood is big time. Now, I've been listening to the Bible Experience. Remember the Bible Experience from like 2007, I think. Yeah, it was the early 2000s. And that was a cast of African-American actors, entertainers, clergy, people we knew. And they put together this audiobook of the Bible. Well, Blair Underwood, I don't know if you knew this, but Blair Underwood was the voice of Jesus. And I have to tell you right now, in our reading the Bible from cover to cover, it has been an amazing listen. And he is, oh my goodness. I don't know how long he studied this read, but when I tell you he blows it out of the park. He is so on point. Oh, if you have not listened, you have got to listen, because he makes every bit of difference in reading and listening. His delivery of Jesus' words, oh my goodness. You can just, I'm dead serious. It's almost like he talked to Jesus himself and got some pointers. You know how you do a character study? Yeah, he is phenomenal. So I remembered he was in this, and I was like, you know, what are they going to say about him? Because we all know what Blair Underwood is doing. Well, next year, God spares, he's supposed to be in an Ava DuVernay's movie, Origin. So I don't know, you know, what that's about. It doesn't say, but he has, you know, some work that he's about to get involved in. So that would be nice. Well, Sheila E. Remember Sheila E., the bad drummer? Oh, nasty. Well, she also did a little bit of singing. Well, she was a major part of this movie. And she unfortunately passed away back in 2019. Well, she was a four-time Grammy nominee. And, you know, no, you know what? I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, because I got a little mixed up there. No, she dated Prince, who passed away. Y'all got to forgive me. Because I'm like, well, I didn't know Sheila E. died. She was just in something I saw. Well, she's still touring. Homegirl is still touring. Y'all got to forgive me for that one, because I was a little lost myself. Remember, I don't look at this stuff. I wouldn't be just as surprised as the rest of you. But, yeah, so she's still hanging around. She still looks very good. She still looks very good. She does. She does. She does. All right. The Fat Boys. Remember the Fat Boys? Well, they say that, you know, they went on to, you know, make a whole lot of records. And I don't remember a whole lot of records. Maybe y'all do. But they did make a couple of, you know, records. They started off, they did their little stint in this movie, and they did another movie. I remember they were in another movie. And unfortunately, the one who was the human beatbox, he died back in 1995. He was 28 years old. He had a heart attack. And Prince Marky D. Morales passed away in 2021 at the age of 52. That was a lighter skinned individual. And I think he's the one who has a child with, what's her name, Peppa from Song Peppa. I believe that they have a child together. Well, the last one was Kuroksky, and he is the last surviving member. And, you know, he's just out here, you know, just hanging on to his little name and doing his little thing and, you know, living life. All right? Well, remember Run DMC was in the movie? Yes. Well, we all know that Jam Master Jay passed away in 2002, but the other two, Run DMC, they are still doing their thing, living out their little legacy. And remember, what is his name? Run had the family show, the reality show, Run's House. Remember that? Yeah. And he's, you know, his kids are pretty, you know, popular and in the business. I think one of his sons, you know, he said he wanted to be a triple threat, so he's out here. He's doing his little thing. So I think one of his girls, Sneaker Girls, she was, the girls had like a sneaker line. So they're doing their little thing. They're doing their little thing. Curtis Blow. Remember Curtis Blow? These Are the Breaks. Yeah, he was in that, if you remember. Well, he had a rough life, but he, you know, he's doing his little thing. He's still out here. You know, they're really getting it. It's 50 years of hip-hop, so a lot of them are getting their names kind of back out in the limelight as, you know, they're getting their notoriety for all of their contributions into the world of hip-hop, so he's one of them. Now, I don't remember this. They said the Beastie Boys was actually in this movie. I don't remember them being in the movie at all. So we know that the Beastie Boys, you know, they have their name and they're doing their little thing. I think one of the members or a couple of members may have passed away. You know what? One of the Adam Yauch passed away in 2012. They say from cancer at 47. So they have the other two surviving members. They're hanging out and they're doing their Beastie Boys thing. Okay, LL Cool J. Remember he had his little cameo in there, and we know that LL Cool J has really done his thing since then. I mean, he has been in several movies. He was on one of the CSI franchise, if he's not still on it. But he actually took some acting classes, I remember them saying. And he really ended up getting his acting together. So every once in a while, you know, he'll pop his head up and do some music. But that's it. Yeah, those were the top players. So we see where they have been. And go back and check the movie out. I mean, it may be a little hard to watch because, again, like I said, you know, a lot of them just got started and, you know, so there was no real acting ability in, you know, at that time. But, you know,
as time has gone on, things have definitely improved. I know Sheila E. played a role, if I can remember correctly, in Family Business, the Family Business, and that's like a BET original with Ernie Hudson and what's her name from Half and Half, the Valerie Pettiford from Half and Half. She's on there, and they play like some mega mogul couple, and who else is on there? Darren DeWitt Henson. Yeah, so Sheila E. had a little small role at one point in there. She didn't do too bad. She didn't do too bad. So go back and check out Crush Groove. Bring up some nice, good memories. Alrighty. Well, what are we talking about today? Well, I want to, you know, I always kind of give this little mishmash thing, you know, some little piece of news, but it's not news, but always like a little fun tip or whatever, fun information. Well, listen, here's what I'm going to talk about for a couple of minutes this morning. They say that at restaurants, that you really need to skip certain items. Do not buy certain items. Well, one of the things that comes up on this list, they say do not use the bottled ketchup on the table. They say it's more than likely blended with other bottles. Now, I do know that Shantiz has said that there's a terminology, and they say you're not supposed to marry the ketchup. So that's, you know, you're not supposed to pour from like one bottle into the next. Well, do you really think they don't do that? Because that means that you'd have to throw out quite a few bottles, especially when it gets down to the lowest, you know, point. You don't want to put an empty bottle of ketchup on a table. Well, they say skip that bottle of ketchup. Now, I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't know what they're supposed to do. So I got to ask her. And I ask her, what do you do if you don't, you know, eat the ketchup that's married? What are you supposed to eat if you need ketchup? I don't know. Maybe y'all know. If you know, let me know. Okay? Well, they say the chicken parmesan, skip that. Because most times, the chicken parmesan is overcooked. Okay? So do not eat the chicken parmesan. Now, maybe you can go to one of your favorite restaurants and the chicken parmesan is pretty good, but they were like, nah, skip it. Skip it, skip it, skip it. They say most times the chicken parmesan is frozen anyway, so you're not getting any fresh, let's say, chicken cutlet, but you're getting something frozen. Shanti says, ask for packets of ketchup. Okay, do not eat the ketchup off the table from the bottle. Ask for packets of ketchup. Thank you. All righty. They say the tap water is okay to drink, but you would do better asking for bottled water. Okay, they say not all restaurants have a filter or a water purifier, so don't get the water. Now, that's big for me because most times I don't drink anything else. So, and how much do you pay for bottled water? And I have tons of water in my house. So, yeah. But you can taste water, you know, for a water connoisseur such as myself. I can taste when the water is no good. But they say you may want to skip the regular water and ask for bottled water. Oh, they say you might want to skip the soup because today's soup special is actually yesterday's special. Oh, they say, you know, that's the way they disguise some leftovers from the previous day. And that's what they give you. It's not actually fresh soup that they've made, you know, even if it's not the whole, you know, the whole, even if they throw in some fresh ingredients, that you may want to leave that. Okay. Don't eat raw bean sprouts. No, because they say that breeds bacteria and Salmonella, Listeria, and E. coli have been found in raw bean sprouts. So make sure if you eat bean sprouts, they are cooked. Okay? Oh, okay. So for those who love the buffet, now we've talked about this before, but in a different way. And now that we've been doing even, you know, a little shift and different health tips, one of the things that keeps coming up, we keep getting and I keep finding, I keep bringing to the table for you all, this food temperature issue. And they say that the buffet is really, really dangerous. Really, really dangerous because the hot food really needs to be kept at a certain temperature, and the cold food has to be kept at a certain temperature. And because this food sits at the buffet for an anonymous amount of time, is really very dangerous. And a lot of the food regulations is hard to be maintained at a buffet. So, you know, be very careful of what you eat at a buffet. The salad, they say everybody always charges way too much for a house salad. So they're like, when you eat salad, make sure you get it at a reasonable rate, because they say salads are always marked up. Always you're paying extra money for your salad. So unless it comes with, like, I guess, what's it's like, Olive Garden, when they're giving you like the salad and it's like a rollout salad where they just keep giving you more. But like certain like salad bars, they say is really over expensive. Okay. What else are they saying? Oh, they say watch out for the fresh squeezed juices. They say it's more like fresh squeezed bacteria. Oh, here's what they're talking about. The hand washing. Yeah, the hand washing and the washing of the actual fruit. Remember the other day we were talking about the lemons, and I said don't put the lemon in your water, because a lot of times those lemons are not washed, and all that, those germs are going into your water. Yes, so between them not washing the fruit, possibly, and them not washing their hands properly, and they're squeezing your freshly squeezed juice, you may run into some nastiness there. And a whole lot of germs, they say. Bread baskets. Oh, please don't talk to me about the bread baskets, because how many times have you gone to a restaurant and it's like you are dying, you're so hungry, and the bread that's going to hit the table is so important? Well, dirty hands. They say be careful of the dirty hands. They say that you know, when you be careful of not only the dirty hands that are serving. I mean, we can't really tell, but even the hands that go in the basket at the table. Because most times people don't use hand sanitizer or go to the bathroom and wash their hands. So they say be very careful. Make sure, like when you go to, what's that restaurant? They give peanuts. Texas Roadhouse. They give peanuts and things like that where it's like everybody can put their hands in it. So, yeah, the peanuts may be in a shell. But if everybody's hands have been in the peanuts and the shells have been touched by everybody else's hands, and when you go to eat the raw peanuts, oh, it just goes on and on and on, and it's just like, oh, no. So they said be very careful of that. Oh, unpasteurized cheeses. They say those cheeses are really, really, really listeria infected. So you really take a chance when you eat, like, cheeses like Brie and Queso Fresco, yeah, be very careful that they, you know, are not, they don't have any mold on it, because these particular cheeses breed a lot of bacteria, okay? Oh, they say to-go boxes, yeah. Be careful of to-go boxes because the food that's in the to-go box have been sitting there. Yeah. So it depends on what's in the to-go box, but, you know, if it's been sitting there, remember this room temperature issue for food is really, really deep. Really going to get a lot of people sick. I tell you, when you think about how God has really protected us over the years, oh boy, we should have been dead a long time ago. I always say that. They say be careful of the sweet tea, that because of our own individual taste buds, sweet tea is already very, very, very sweet, is already loaded with a lot of sugar. And if we decide that we're going to add more sugar to it, that really is not good for your diabetes, for your heart, and all of that kind of stuff. Okay? Daily specials, and I'm going to end with that one. They say daily specials, they say, are just a sneaky way of getting rid of food. Yeah. Food that they have to get rid of before they lose it. So they say they use a lot of leftover meats, old sauces, old vegetables, and ooh. So a lot of foodborne illnesses are in these specials because they've kind of been hanging around. Oh boy, eat at home. I mean, and this is just. And that's, like, big for us because when we're working, we're too tired to eat, to cook. And we be in here sometimes starving, trying to find something to eat. There's food in here, but nobody wants to cook because we've just spent the day working. And when you read all of this kind of stuff, oh, boy. So those are some of the things you may want to think about while you're eating out. All right. Don't say Pastor Steph didn't warn you. Don't say Pastor Steph didn't warn you. Well, we've got a story this morning that is, like, really sad. They call him the baby-faced Oklahoma teenager. Well, he is 60 years old. He is 4'9", and he has a rap sheet that is a little too long for anyone's comfortability, and he's responsible for shooting a 5-year-old girl in the neck as part of a gang initiation. They say he was convicted of 10 charges against him, including shooting with intent to kill, firearm possession, and drug possession. in the April 2022 drive-by shooting in Tulsa. He'd been traveling in a stolen SUV when he opened fire, hitting a five-year-old girl in the neck and shoulder. Thank God she lived, because they said had it been like an inch away, she wouldn't have made it. Well, he had been trying to get into the Tulsa's Hoover Crips gang. And that was their initiation for him. And they say he's been wreaking havoc all over the neighborhood, wearing gang colors, carrying guns and knives, and threatening the neighbors, harassing the neighbors. And they say he looks, and you should see this mugshot, he looks about 10 years old. And they say he does look much younger than he really is. He weighs about 90 pounds. He escaped from the Tulsa Juvenile Center by jumping a fence while a guard was distracted. They say that his family, and this reminds me of the kid who shot the teacher, the six-year-old who shot the teacher. They say that he's been a danger for many years. And his family talks about the fact that he's just a menace. And he has an aunt who testified that a nephew has been neglected his entire life by both his mother and his father, who's been in and out of prison. And, you know, it's like, well, how much do you expect from him? Well, they sentenced him to 50 years in prison for this shooting. 5-0. Now, he can do 5 years, and then they will review and see if they're going to stick to this 50 years. Now, there was a law passed that they couldn't give children life. Well, I guess they figured they'd stay away from that one. So they gave him 50 years. And the argument has been, do they really know what they're, you know, what they've done when they have committed crimes at such a young age? And they overturned quite a few sentences during the COVID, because they said that you're giving children a life sentence when they were not responsible for a lot of the different crimes that were committed. And, you know, how do you put them away for the rest of their life when they really have not had a chance to live, blah, 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 blah. So they had to do longer terms in jail, but the life they couldn't do. So you had some individuals who had already spent like 20 and 30 years in jail who were subsequently released. And it didn't really matter the crime that they had committed. Well, if you were sentenced to life as a child, then you had to do something that was really heinous. So even though they had done, you know, just this major crime, they did release them after like 20, 30 years. They felt like, you know what, we've reviewed your case. We see that, you know, hey, we think you deserve another chance. So that's one of the reasons why with this particular kid, after 5 years, even though he'll serve 5 years into a 50-year sentence, they'll review and then they'll make a determination how they move forward. Because maybe at 21, he'll have a different mindset. Maybe he'll be, you know, not as influenced, and maybe some person would have gotten to him. Maybe God would have dealt with him by then. I don't know. But it's kind of good to know that in 5 years they'll review, and I'm not even saying necessarily let him out, but at least if he thinks that there's, you know, an opportunity for him to have a better life, then, you know, hey, maybe he'll do better. Because a lot of people, and I'm living this with, you know, somebody else, and I've heard this over the years, you know, some people live by this creed, well, you say I ain't nothing, so I ain't gonna be nothing. That is just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But for whatever the reason is, people do this, and they have this mindset. So that's why my thought is, at 16 years old, you know, the family says that he never had any intention. Now, I don't know what kind of attention he's going to get up in the jail. But, again, you know, maybe if they put him in some programs, you know, to, you know, give him a little therapy, some counseling, you know, maybe then the right person will get to him and he'll find a reason to live and be, you know, a decent citizen. He won't feel like he can throw his hands up in the air because nobody cares about him or nobody's paying him any attention, blah, blah, blah. So hopefully and prayerfully, the little baby-faced Finster. Oh, boy, what else are we talking about? Well, you know what's on the news now about this huge Maine mass shooting? Well, I don't want to talk more about that than I want to talk about, before I bring my men on, I want to talk about this Maine representative, Jared Golden. Well, excuse me. They say he's been fighting. He's been fighting the banning of assault-style weapons. Several times he's had to vote, and he has voted against banning these weapons. Well, see, we always say, until it reaches your lap, it always looks different. So as he's been voting against these assault weapons, he's had no problem, despite the fact that for years, these assault-style weapons have been used over and over and over again, even to the degree where they have found several in these people's possession. You know, it wasn't like there was just this one that they all had one that they used and things like that, and nothing. He's never, ever, ever voted in favor of getting rid of these weapons. Well, now that the mass shooting has taken place in Maine, oh, he says, quote, I have opposed efforts to ban deadly weapons of war, like the assault rifle used to carry out these crimes, but the time has come for me to take responsibility for this failure, which is why I now call on the United States Congress to ban assault rifles like the one used by the sick perpetrator of this mass killing. I ask for forgiveness and support as I seek to put an end to this terrible and these terrible type shootings. Well, you know, all these people had to die. Was it 18? 18 people. This creep actually went into a children's bowling alley. Yeah. this was a kids event. They had this children's league going on. He also went to a local bar, and 18 people. So unfortunately, it had to take 18 people in your hometown to die. Now, when everybody else was dying, when all the kids were dying in schools, look at all the times when these assault rifles were used in the schools. It didn't matter. You didn't see any reason to ban these assault rifles. But the moment it hit your hometown, now you have a change of heart. And it's so sad that this is the way it has to go down. Well, let me talk to my gentlemen and see what they're thinking about this here. Let's say good morning to our Brother Ainsley. Good morning, Brother Ainsley.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, Pastor Steph. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. I'm doing okay. Thank you. And you sound
That's good
yourself.
Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Something's trying to give me like a little cold, but other than that, I'm all right, thank you. I'm all right. So let's start
all
off
right.
with the lighter stuff. We talked about the foods that they say you need to stay away from in the restaurant. Is there something that you have found that you used to eat or you used to go for and it's like, nah, I had to let that go? Anything for you?
You know what? I want to get some breakfast this morning, but if you start talking about this food, I'm like, that's all right. I'll just eat air because I kind of want to get sick.
Yeah.
You know, I had to curb my eating habits quite a bit the last few years. But one thing I had to kind of, believe it or not, stay away from is Popeye's fried chicken.
Wow, now why Popeyes? That's one of our household favorites. Why Popeyes?
I know. Man, listen, one incident. So, like you say, sometimes you're tired. You don't feel like cooking. You know, you just don't feel like it every day of the week. You just don't. So you just go grab something and whatnot. There's one particular day, so me and my wife, we said, all right, she wants fried the Popeye chicken, so we could go get some, right? Just a couple of hours, not too long afterwards, right, my wife's not starting to feel well. And for me, not to get into detail, but, you know, what I realized, when my chest starts hurting, that means my blood pressure is going up. I felt like I was about like, uh-oh, do I need to call emergency 911?
Wow,
my wife's
wow.
Your head was spinning. Yeah, we both was like almost down for the count, and that's the
wow.
only thing we both had was this ticket, and I was
wow.
like, okay, now mind you, ain't the first time we eat no Popeye's chicken,
right?
But sometime after that, you know, I had something else from them. I was like, okay, I gotta put this down. I mean, you know, that's fried chicken is a staple in the African American community.
Right,
you know,
right.
On, that's like that.
Right.
You can't get more generous than some fried chicken.
Right.
And I said, all right, you know what? Just to be on the safe side, I can't just say stop it all together. But at least I don't know what it is with the Popeye's chicken and the sodium, whatever they put into it. Y'all, I feel like if I eat it, I'm going to make.
Wow.
That emergency room is going to be calling, man.
Wow. Well, you
yeah,
know what?
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you so much for giving us that because, you know, how many other people are not watching and maybe they have, you know, they're not monitoring themselves. Oh, I got a hit. Somebody said the same thing happened to them. So that's what I was getting ready to say. I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, some people, I always tell people, watch your body. Know your body. And like you said, you know, you notice that if certain things happen, you know, you pay attention to it. And other people are probably eating not just Popeye's, Ains, but other you know, food, and they're getting some type of reaction, and they're not paying it any attention. So, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, just maybe, you saying this, you know, other people will pay attention. So thanks for bringing that up. Thanks so much for bringing that up.
Yeah, and you know
that.
What? And also, too, I used to love, like, the biscuits. Oh, man, I love
okay.
the biscuits, man. I was like, man, I could just eat a biscuit for breakfast and whatnot.
Okay.
But, you know, I was starting to get a couple of biscuits for breakfast and whatnot. But, you know, Popeye's not open that morning. It's not a breakfast,
right.
you know,
right.
chain food and
right.
stuff like that. But then when I looked at it, I said, it's a good thing. When I check and look at what the ingredients, I can't recall all what it is, but, you know, some biscuits, man, I think it's high in sodium as well.
Oh, wow.
Biscuits,
okay.
As great as it tastes, it's really not good for you. It really isn't.
Wow.
So that's why I never got into it like that, but after seeing what's in it, I'm like, okay, no. Uh-uh.
Wow, okay. Well, thank you for sharing that. Everybody needs to listen up. Watch your body. Watch your bodies and watch how your body responds when you eat certain things. So, you know, again, you know, someone else responded that had happened to them. It hasn't happened to us in this house, but, you know, I do know that for those of you who don't know, it's battered in egg. So, I can't eat eggs. I have a very bad reaction to eggs, and I have to watch when I eat it. You know, a lot of times, again, you don't know the ingredients. And, you know, so they're high in sodium. They do batter their chicken and eggs. And if you ask them, they do tell you yes. So you have to definitely be careful of what you ingest. Thank you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to keep this going. I don't want to go into the other area yet since you didn't just drop that piece of science. Let's say good morning to our brother Al. Good morning, brother Al.
Chop, chop of the morning. Chop, chop of the morning. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm okay. Thanks. How you doing, brother Al?
Well, I'm doing great. I played a little hooky today. Had to take a break for them kids. I'm all good.
Well, we're glad that you got a little R&R. Well, you know, we talking about the food that, you know, you might need to skip at the restaurant. What have you found that you need to just, you know what, I ain't going there. I'm not going there. I'm going to leave this alone.
It's funny because I don't eat out much at all. I cook a lot because I love cooking. But I know at one time it was the Chinese restaurant because see, with me going out, I'm very particular about who handles my food. And all I got to do is see this one thing. I could be starving. I see one thing and my appetite just go. Like it's a big turnoff. So I cook a lot. And I remember one time, me and Tamika was going up, and like Angie said, you know, they don't want to cook all the time. I ain't perfect cook all the time. I'm like, you know what, let's grab a little something. And me and Tamika went into Burger King, and we stood online, and, you know, it was a guy there. He was like a manager or something. He was talking to another friend. Somebody he knew came in the store, and while he was talking, he just reached his hands over in the french fry basket and got some fries and was eating them while he was talking to the guy. Then he finished talking, and he came over. He came over. He was, good evening. How you doing? How may I help you? I said, that's all right. And I said, Tamika, let's go. So I get taken very fast. And I worry about people handling my food because I know everybody is not clean. And then with me, when I used to work in the kitchen, in the school, I learned so much about food. Like you said, with the temperature, it's so much that comes with food that people don't understand. And like you were saying, when hot food has to stay at a temperature of 140 degrees or higher.
That's right.
If anything lower from that, bacteria grows. And so, you know, learning all that stuff even heightened my thing. But like I said, the Chinese restaurant I used to go because I like Chinese food. And just one day at this Chinese restaurant around the way I used to go to, then I went there a couple of times. Food was pretty decent. Then one day I went and got some food, and it was absolutely horrible. And I was like, you know what? And for those who don't know, there's an app called Pinterest. If you've never heard of Pinterest, Pinterest have a billion recipes. I stay on Pinterest, and I actually learned how to make my own Chinese food. So
okay.
There was a Chinese restaurant that I had to stay. I mean, I make my egg rolls, shrimp fried rice, gyro's pho chicken, orange chicken. I make anything. That's what I had to stay away from that because the taste was just totally different. And I'm like you, I'm a water connoisseur too. I love my water,
okay.
And you could tell us who love water. We could tell, hey, that water is straight from the tap.
Yep.
Hey, that water is horrible. You know, so we know.
I don't even drink water through a straw, Brother Al, because I need to taste the water to my lips. Because the straw will distort the taste of the water. No, I need to drink that water direct. Don't give me no straw. Nah, because if so, then I'm taking plastic and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, and I know Tamika is listening. I'm glad you said that because when we get it, she's like, "You don't want no straw?" No, I don't want no straw. I'm going to drink this thing. You know, they got to the point now. Right, and now you know they got to the point now where they don't do the plastic straw no more. They do like a paper straw.
The
straw is horrible.
Yes, Brother Al.
That straw is horrible.
You can ask, and for those of you who don't know, they do have plastic straws at your request. Okay? So don't have any fear. If you want, ask for a straw. All right? So I want to give you that information. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Brother Al. We coming back because we got two other things that we need to talk about. But let's just hit up Pastor KL since we're on this food tip that you need to stay away from. Good morning, Pastor KL.
Good morning, Pastor Steph. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you. How are you?
I am well as well, thank you.
Good, good, good. What have you learned that you need to stay away from? We call it out food. I don't know how many other people say it, but in this house we just say out food. So with the out food in the restaurant, is there something you've come across that, you know what, I'm not messing with that no more?
Well, you know, I've always learned, you know, don't be a quitter. Just try it again. You know, there's nothing I ain't for you. You know, I'm just saying, you know, I've listened to all these stories, and you know, y'all sound like a bunch of wusses. You know what I mean? So much. I mean, listen. Okay, I understand your chest hurt. Okay, I'm sorry. Take some water. You know what I mean? I mean, there's things that you can do to bring your pressure down. You know, I mean, are we saying that all Chinese men are bad? No. Come on. Go to the next restaurant. You know, for those of you who don't know, I think Pastor Steph knows that every morning sometimes I get on late because I have to have my fried chicken and french fries every morning. Every morning. So I'm like, for all of you who have weak stomachs and can't deal with the public stuff, I'm sorry. But listen, every now and then I get a burnt wing. Am I not going back tomorrow? I'll be back tomorrow. And I'll talk to you about that burnt wing I had, and maybe you'll put an extra wing in the box. You know, there's things to work out. That's all I'm saying.
You know what? Well, I'm glad we were able to get all the good advice.
Yeah, exactly.
We got all the good advice.
The local ER.
Right? We'll visit. We'll make a trip to Alabama. We'll make a trip to Alabama.
Bring a wing with you. Bring a wing with you. Man can't live on one wing.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, speaking of, you know, children, we've got this baby-faced Oklahoma teenager, 16 years old, who was participating in a gang initiation where he did a drive-by, fired a gun, and shot a five-year-old girl in the neck. And thank God she did not die. He's facing 10 charges. Well, he was facing 10 charges, including shooting with intent to kill, firearm possession, and drug possession.
he has had a string of incidences that he has been a part of. He is a menace to the neighborhood. Auntie says that, you know, her nephew has been neglected his entire life by both his mother and father, who have been in and out of prison. And, you know, this has kind of fed his behavior and outlook. They have now given him 50 years, and he will be eligible for a judicial review hearing in 5 years, where they can possibly reduce the sentence if he's able to convince the judge that he's changed for the better. So my question to you gentlemen today, you know, what say you in regards to, okay, you're 16 years old, you've committed several crimes. They say he has a rap sheet at 16 years old. The biggest charge is the murder, the attempted murder charge. They've given him 50 years, and after 5 years, they're going to review your behavior, and if you can convince the judge that you can live a better life, then they'll reduce your sentence. Can you show that in 5 years, Brother Ainsley?
I don't see how, though. You know, you like to see that there's some point that there is some redeeming value here and stuff like that, but hey, I'm sorry, some people can be redeemed, but jail is not meant to redeem. It's just really meant to keep you off the streets. And, you know, my question is, I don't know what the figures are, but how effective are the programs to keep people, to reduce keep people from coming back, recidivism. And at first, you know, I was like, no, when you first mentioned it, I was like, oh, this kid, he just got to do the whole 50, man, you know, because he just, there's no good here. But then again, you never know, like, every situation is different. You know, you don't know, like, really, was this really imposed on him? Like, you know, he may have been neglected. However, the gang initiation, you know, they kind of imposed it on him. And so he's really been heavily influenced. And put him in a situation and say, here's the gun, here's the drugs, go out and do this. And he just get caught out there. And not to say that he can't be redeemed, but, you know, there's a possibility. There may be a possibility. But I don't understand how you're going to do that in 5 years in jail. Because to me, in jail, you just, unless there's a strong influence otherwise, what's going to be changed? And then when he come out, his mother and father, they're both locked up in jail, you know, which is probably the root cause of everything. So what's going to happen when he do come out? Why? What's going to prevent him from, you know what I'm saying? You know, at 20, he's a juvenile now. At 21, he's definitely an adult. What he going to do then at 21? He's going to probably go do more of what he know, do what he's been doing, know more of. Probably joining the family, the gang, the street stuff, and unless there's some serious intervention, some serious praying, juvenile programs, you know, get him a job. I don't see how that's going to happen in 5 years. Not that it can't, but I just don't see it. But it's a good thing probably they do have the a point where it's not like they just lock him up and throw away the key. There is a review panel and stuff like that, but I don't see how it's going to be done. I don't see how he can redeem himself for 5 years in jail.
All right. Brother Al, what say you? Can this be done where he can turn himself around and to the degree of convincing the Judicial Review Board that he's a different person and they will lower the sentencing? They're not saying they're going to let him out in 5 years, but just lowering the sentence. Can this be done?
Well, first of all, I'm surprised they're not using the word mental health, because, you know, that come in when anytime somebody do something, oh, this person got mental problems, you know. actually, I believe that it can. You know, I believe that, you know, the program that they have in prison, like if he was to go ahead and go and get his high school diploma, you know, go in there and go to school and get his diploma and you know, be in, excuse me, be in some of the programs that they have and, you know, and do really good at it, I think he could. I really do think he could. And that's the biggest problem with prison. They have to rehabilitate these people that come into prison, not just lock them up and throw away the key because you're not helping solve the problem. But if he go to school in there and get involved with the programs that they have in prison and do well, I believe that he can.
Okay, okay. Pastor KL, what comes to your mind when you hear, you know, hey, you know, they've given him 5 years. Can he make this turnaround?
Well, I think it's all in the circumstances. You know, there are situations, you know, gang-related where, you know, the gang pick you. You don't necessarily pick them. And you don't want to be part of the gang, but because you're afraid of the gang, then sometimes you get caught up into them situations. You know, you have no parents, and now the streets are your parents. You know what I mean? So I think it's all a part of your situation. I think if the gang picked you, listen, for a lack of a better term, you got lucky going to jail because you could have got killed on the streets, you know, and perhaps getting out of that situation, you know what I mean? You might find Big Bubba who's not trying to hurt you but trying to encourage you and tell you, listen, this ain't where it's at. You know, I've been here forever. You know what I mean? Maybe someone can talk some scare straight or talk some sense into you saying, listen, you know, if these people are even offering you the opportunity in 5 years to have a reduced sentence, you need to get it together. And when you get out there, you know, you need to act like you have some sense. So I think it's all a part of the situation. I think it can happen. And I think it could be positive.
Okay, okay. Well, you know, they gave him 50 years. 5-0, you know, and we've found that, you know, they had to overturn this decision to give children life sentences, and during the COVID period, they were releasing some of these younger inmates because they had served 20 and 30 years of a life sentence. And they said that, hey, you know, when you're 16 years old, you make decisions at that time that, you know, it just could have been a momentary thing or like in this particular case where the aunt said, you know, here's your circumstances. So this was a decision made in a circumstantial, you know, or with special circumstances. But, you know, you're not capable of making that level of decision as an adult. So you cannot give them adult sentences. So they've let them out. Now, here you have, you know, okay, we didn't give you life. Now, had it been an adult, they would have given them life because they could have. But they gave them 50 years because they couldn't give them life. So is 50 years too much for a 16-year-old? Brother Al, he's committed this type he's got this rap sheet. He's been in trouble over and over and over again. He's a menace to society. As they say, he's the neighbors. He's driving everybody crazy. Again, he's graduated to this level of crime. Is 50 years too much to put on him? Is it like life?
I would say no. You know, as you start, for people them who don't know the law and what's, you know, and how it works, it's like as you keep continuing doing things that works against you, you know, and then you start developing strikes. Okay, we then gave you two strikes. One more strike, we throw in a book at you, and you go and you do that strike. So, you know, I don't think so. I think, you know, they gave him the time and, you know, possibly get himself together, you know, didn't even do in the stipulation of, okay, we're gonna visit you back in 5 years to see how you're doing. You know, do you really want to be back out here on the street? You know, we're gonna need some time, but we're gonna take some time off if you can get it together. Show us that you can get it together. You know, so I would say no. And you know, a lot of people feel sorry and be like, oh, he's just a kid and this and that. But it's like what we always say. Yeah, that's fine and all until it's in your backyard, until your daughter got shot or he didn't harm or stab your son, you know. So I'm sorry, but no, the 50 years is good.
All right. Pastor KL, they initially gave him 50 years. Now, if they did not decide to review this, in 5 years, 10 years, or whatever situation it is, because they did not say 50 years without the possibility of parole. They said just a straight 50 years. Is that too much for a child who is 16 years old? You know, is that equivalent to life?
Yeah, at 50 years, at a 16-year-old, that's life. I mean, when you get out, what you gonna do? What job are you getting? What life are you really living? You know, I mean, you are definitely coming out with prison mentality, and that's all that you're going to... You already went in with prison mentality. Now you're coming out with even more prison institutional mentality. That's totally life to be. Even in your mind, even if you're able to come outside and you know, be in your right mind, you're still not going to be in your right mind. You know, things evolve every year. You know, to different things, different technologies, different things. You will never catch up. I think, you know, for a 16-year-old, though the crime was definitely heinous, that's too long. For a 16-year-old, again, depending on the circumstance. You know, if he's just, you know, raw and have no reason for it, then perhaps. But like I said, if it's gang-related and he was initiated and stuff like that, I think 50 years is a long time, a long time.
So what time would you feel, you know, is appropriate for that particular behavior?
I'd say 25 to 30.
Okay. All righty. Brother Ains, 50 years equivalent to prison, 50 years too long, too short, not enough, way overboard. What do you think?
Look, 50 years, that's a lifetime right there. that's a life. No matter, at 16, you know what I mean, coming out at 66 years, that's life, man. You know, you know what happens in 50 years? That's life for him. So, I mean, is that just for, like Patrick K., every situation is different. And, like, you know, so I agree. It's one thing if he chose a gang or the gang chose him, that does make a part into it. So for that fact alone, you know, I would say maybe, I would agree with Patrick K., I would say maybe like 25. You know, like I said, it's a good thing that there is a review point. So they're going to look at it 5 years and to see where they go from there. I think that's good because at 21, look, in 5 years, he should be able to, if he really want to redeem himself, he can get his high school diploma. He can learn a trade. He can probably get at least an associate degree. If he try hard, maybe a bachelor's degree. It all depends on him, what's going to be his motivating factor, or is there a motivating factor for him to be a good member of society. So I think it depends on where he goes. It depends on how much time he really should get. He definitely got to pay the cost for what he did. But 50, that's a lifetime. That's really a lifetime. So I would agree, maybe review it in 5 years. Maybe he get at the minimum 15, but I'm thinking mostly maybe like 25. So at least at maybe about 41, you still got some life left into you. You can still, be a positive member of society. But I think, you know, and 25, that's good time to be off the street. But 50 years is straight 50. You know, that's a lifetime, man. Like that's life, man.
Okay. Well, we're going to shift gear a little bit, and there's a question that I want to come back to, but I want to address this particular story next. You have this shooting, this mass shooting, again, another mass shooting here in the United States, and this time it's in Maine, where a gentleman, if you will, you know, he goes up in the bowling alley where there's a children's league taking place. He goes up in a local bar. And between these places, you have 18 lives that have been taken. You know, he's someone who has come from the military and blah, 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 blah. Well, you have this representative who has been voting against banning the assault-style weapons several times. He's voted against it. And now that it's happened in Maine, there's a change of feeling, thought. I will read his quote. "I have opposed efforts to ban deadly weapons of war like the assault rifle used to carry out this crime. The time has come for me to take responsibility for this failure, which is why I now call on the United States Congress to ban assault rifles like the one used by the sick perpetrator of this mass killing. I ask for forgiveness and support as I seek to put an end to this, to these type terrible shootings." So now you have this, you know, I'm a staunch believer, all these other times where he's voted, where, no, absolutely not, do not ban these weapons, despite the fact that these are the same weapons that have been used for school shootings and the mall and, you know, all these other places. But now that it's in your backyard, you now have a change of heart. What say you, Pastor KL?
Yeah, you know, I'm a stickler for, you know, unless it storms in your backyard, we don't really care about it. And that's exactly what this is. You know what I mean? Now it's hitting home. And it's closer, you know, to what you like it to be, you know, and now you have to do something about it because the next step is you. You know, anytime stuff comes close, you know, that you can taste it or feel it, you know what I mean, then we have to do something about it. You know, as long as the dog is menacing up the block, it's okay. Somebody just need to get the dog. But now when the dog comes into your backyard, listen, we really need to shoot this dog or kill this dog because now, you know, it's potential threat to my whole livelihood. So I think that's what this case is. You know, we've heard all these other type of killings and, you know, we needed to keep guns because, you know, guns don't kill people. People kill people, you know, but now that's in our backyard, now there's a problem.
Okay. Brother Ainsley, you know, we need to ban the assault weapons now.
Yeah. You know what this is? This is, yeah, like you've been saying, it's like, I don't know what they're saying, the chicken come home to roost. It's like when it's now, when it's affecting you. I said this before. It's only when these politicians, when it's going to affect them personally or their family or more directly, is when they're going to change their position on it. Because this may go into another situation, another topic, but, you know, the NRA is highly behind this and on whatnot because, you know, so they got these people in their back pocket, know to, to always ban it. You can't even get even sensible, which everybody agree on, sensible a background check. Just check to make sure, like, this person is not a felon who's trying to get a, let me say this person has a decent mental stability to own a gun, or, you know, just simple common sense, not even the ban, but just go do a little simple background check. You know, they would just have it that apparently, like, anybody can just go in and get these high-powered, warlike, you know, machinery and stuff like that. So, and I'm just saying, for me personally, I tried to address this directly to the NRA because they didn't want to hear nothing from me. And so, and I said, it's only going to take it only when these politicians, when it hits them personally or their family, their loved ones, or that more directly affects them, where the money is not an issue for them anymore, or their political aspiration is not, it's not important to them anymore, then they're going to flip. That's what I seem like it's the only thing it's going to take, because common sense is not, it's not, it's not, it doesn't seem to be resonating. So this, it seems, unfortunately, it's like a lot of people will have to die in different areas. So it is, instead of, now it's you people. Now it affects them, everybody. Oh, now we got to make a change. Yeah. So, and it's heartbreaking. You see the, you know, I mean, you know, children, senselessly, and, you know, killed like that. So, no, there's no place for it, really. No.
Brother Al, you know, children, Brother Ainley just said, and unfortunately, it's been how many other people's children? You had the Uvalde shooting, you've had the other schools, you know, that have been attacked and where children have lost their lives. And, you know, again, now that it's in your court, now we've got to do something about this. Please forgive me. Please forgive me for not taking this seriously. I'm going to put that word out there. What do you say to that one?
Yeah, you know, he looked crazy doing that. You know, how about just saying, hey, look, you know, it happened in my backyard, so now we got to do something. That's what you should just say, you know. They need to do better. You know, one of the things is, you know, I see all the arguments about the NRA and the guns and stuff. Number one, it's not going to change. So I think they are attacking this the wrong way. You have to put things in order, just like you do with alcohol. Alcohol is never going to stop being sold. So what did they do? They said, okay, now you got to be 18 years or older to get it. You know, they put certain stipulations. Or if we catch you selling alcohol to a minor, we taking away your license. You know, I remember when I was younger, I was able to go to the store and get cigarettes from my dad. I hated it. I was a little kid. But now they put this thing in. And it's the same thing they have to do with these guns. No matter what law, whatever they do, guns are going to be on the street. So I think they're attacking it wrong. How can we kind of maintain it? Because it's going to happen. I don't care what you do. Guns are going to get out on these streets. How are we going to do it? How about doing different things? If you get caught with a legal gun, you're doing 20 years. You know, they need to put some stipulations in there because it's not going to stop. You know, and like you said, these high-power rifles, you're not in war. Why are you even having it, you know, selling those out there? And like I said, he looked crazy. You know, we're not going to do it. No, don't. We're not going to ban that. No, let's keep it now. That it didn't happen in your backyard. Now you're sitting there looking crazy. Oh, forgive me. No, I ain't forgiving you. Do something about it. You want forgiveness? Do something about it. It should have been did something about it instead of waiting until it hit your backyard and me. You know, we say this on the Due Time Show all the time. It's always until it hits your backyard. Now everybody want to, you know, cry about it and say this and that. We need to care more about everything that's going on. And they say, what can we do, especially these leaders, what can we do to prevent it from coming in my backyard? How about that?
All righty. Well,
can I just say one thing?
Sure.
Steph? You know, that becomes and I understand the argument, but that becomes very, very difficult when we allow places like Walmart to sell these guns, to sell all type of stuff. It becomes very, very difficult when the state that I'm in, Alabama, is an open carry state. And guess what? You don't have to have a license to open carry. You don't need to go down to the police station or to the courthouse and obtain a license, and you can have a gun. So until we kind of stop these kind of things where guns are so easily obtained, like Walmart, where we don't have to have a license or we don't have to be we don't have to fill out an application to find out who we are. Until we stop doing those kind of things, it's going to be hard to get these guns off the streets because it's too easily accessible, rather.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, that's true.
It's very, and I never understood how, you sell a gun at Walmart. I never understood that, and it wasn't until I was in a Walmart that I actually learned that you could actually get a gun. And I was like, well, what kind of, I need to get up out of here. I would never imagine something like that being so easily accessible. And to me, at that point, every single shooting that takes place, they need to be held accountable for. When you don't put these type of things in place that help to prevent this, that stops the access so easily, then you own the responsibility. And, the next thing that I noticed in this article, Brother Al kind of brought it up, where they're saying that they're now going to make the regulations a little different because they're going to focus on mental health and increasing security. And this is what we're talking about here. So, I'm going to come to you, Brother Ains. We got a couple of more minutes to talk about this connection with, okay, now, we're going to address the mental health issue and the people who actually get access to these guns. Now?
Yeah, it's like, it reminds me of the drug problem. So, like, when I say back in the 70s and, when African-American, black minorities, it was on drug, they drug addicts and heroin addicts. It's those people, those kind and whatnot. But now when it seems it's hit the general population, more white Caucasian and European, now it's more of a mental health. It's like a general health problem. Now we got to address all of this, the mental capacity and stuff like that. So it's more of the same. It's like, okay, but if it was just African-Americans, blacks, minorities, it's you, those. Now when it hits your backyard, now we're going to really deal with this, the totality of everything, and consider everything we can do to address this, mental health and everything that goes along with it. It's more the same. To me, it's more the same. It's now it's hitting you, so now you really want to address it. But maybe if you had to do this, have more empathy, and you really had more caring for, in general, for everybody, that's the saying, prevention is better than cure. So had we tried to prevent this a long time ago, there would have been as much cure need to be done right now. So, yeah, that's where we at. Me.
Okay. Brother Al, I'm going to ask you this question. Now they're saying we're going to address mental health, we're going to address security, tightening security. And I think it was Brother Ainsley who brought it up, making the applications and the accessibility a little harder. What do you think about holding these people responsible who will not ban the rifles, who have not made a stringent application process? How do you hold them accountable, or do you hold them accountable?
Absolutely. I think you should hold them accountable, especially the people who are selling the guns. Again, they're in this business. They know what these guns do. It ain't like they don't know. And this person can just come in, regular home person, hey, let me get that. I want to get an AK-47. And you sell it to them without asking any questions and stuff. They definitely should be held accountable. And, you know, one of the things we always said, this is why we need Jesus, because people need to understand that everything is not mental health. Some of this stuff is demonic. You know, and you know, they look past all of that. And, you know, when President Obama was in office, he had put in place that if you had any background or anything of mental health, you could not purchase a weapon. And, of course, Trump came in and removed that. You know, so these people need to be held accountable. You know, you definitely need to be held accountable. And again, like you said, it's guns are going to be there. I don't care what you do. If you put this in order, this, whatever, they're going to get out illegal like anything else. But again, if you're putting a tap on it, like you say, oh, hey, you get caught with a illegal gun, you're doing 20 years or less, you know, or, you know, just put these things in order. I believe that really would help out a lot. These stores that sell those high power rifles. Okay, y'all got open carry, dude. But I tell you what, you sell that AK and somebody use it, you're held responsible for it. And I think that would slow down. I don't think it would solve it, but I think it would slow down. That would make people think and say, hey, you know what? If I carry this and get caught with it, I'm doing 20 years with no question. You know, I think that would help out make the, like I said, the application, make it harder. You know, make it harder. You want to own this gun? Okay, this is the steps you're going to go through. It's going to take you at least a year to get it because we need to go through all of this. How are you going to sell guns to somebody and not do a background check? You know, this person here might have a whole history of domestic violence. Now, he even got to the point where, you know what, I can't have her. Nobody going to have her. Let me go get me a gun and fix this. You don't even check to see if they got any records on file, police file. That's insane. So they need to fix that. And like I said, Walmart, you go to Walmart and you buy a gun. Tamika holds me hostage in Walmart. I can't go in there no more because they sell guns. You know?
Goodness gracious. All right.
So.
Pastor K.O., I'll ask you. I'm talking about even going above the level of the seller. If you've been voting against banning these guns and now something jumps off, should they now, these lawmakers, and even if you stick it to, you know, if you confine yourself to the local, like such as the one who's speaking now, do you hold them responsible? Is this a way of now making more people aware of your responsibility? You just can't say, I vote that you we sell guns, and leave it now to the responsibility of the seller. Now you're taking this up the chain. Do you even hold these lawmakers or these voters responsible when things like this happen?
Yeah, I think, first of all, you have to make the lawmakers responsible as opposed to the sellers, simply because I can only sell what you allow me to sell. If you tell me I can't sell cigarettes to minors, then I can't sell cigarettes to minors. And if I do it, then you can hold me responsible. But if you tell me I can sell cigarettes, then if that person gets cancer, it's not my fault because I have the ability to sell this. It's a choice that you made. I think we have to stop being reactive and stop being proactive. you know, we always find ourselves changing laws or changing things after something detrimental has happened. You know, we don't think this thing through because nothing has happened yet. We don't think about this could happen and perhaps we need to put this in place. We're continuously behind the gun. We're continuously, you know, reacting to things that is happening, that is causing changes in people's lives. We need to start being proactive as leaders, as people who make these laws, who changes these laws. They have the ability to fix this thing. Now, if something happens after they fix it, then it's on the person who's done it.
All righty. Brother Ainsley, I did not ask you that particular question, but do we hold, you know, even above the seller? You know, this man has said, hey, I have voted several times that there be no ban on assault rifles. Now, since I voted the first time, there were two shootings and mass shootings with this that used the assault rifle. Since I voted the second time, there was one. Since I voted the third time, there was one. Now, the next one happens in my hometown, and now I want to change the law. Had we held him accountable the first time, we wouldn't be here, possibly. Is it too far-fetched to hold lawmakers or these voters responsible?
Yeah, I wish we could. I really wish we could. Reality, I wish we could. I think morally, we probably can. But legally, I mean, as far as, you know, we got to be compensated for the action. Reality is that's not going to happen. But, you know, so in fact, more of a moral addressing it and stuff like that. Because, again, it's only happening in their backyard. That's the reason why we're making a change. But, again, it's like, again, only when it really affects you, it's like when it's common sense, it's going to kick in. You're right. So you would think that if you hold people responsible, not to get off topic, but it's like it reminds me of like going to police. Now this is only like in the New York City area. I'm like, you know, kids have immunity. So it's like they do things, but they know, all right, they're gonna be immune whatever they transpire. They can kill us, like, oh, we're in the process of doing my job. I can't be personally responsible for what happened. My thing is like, no. You need to be personally responsible for all your actions, too. To get any immunity or liability, you do something wrong, you got to pay for it. And I think that the same thing applies, as you're saying, you know, for the politician. No, you are responsible. Promises will kick in. There will be a ban on this stuff automatically. I think overnight, it would, if that was the case, you wouldn't be having this issue. But that's not the case. So it's, I think right now, reality is we just, you know, you guys got to persuade morally, pray on this thing. But it's like, it seems like it's only going to change when it hits them personally or, you know, somewhere close to them. You wish you could make them personally liable, but... you know, we limited on how much liability we can address them to. I think we're tripping.
All righty. Oh, you gentlemen have done a fine job. We thank you so much for your contribution into this conversation, and we pray you have a blessed weekend.
You do the same.
Well, you too, Pastor Steve.
Thank you.
I'll take care, gentlemen.
All righty. Let's get to this benediction. Let me make sure I got the right one that I want. 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. May the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as
we do for you so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Amen. Amen. You know, it does seem far-fetched that, you know, we would get the politicians and snag them for the behavior of these people when these mass shootings occur. Again, you know, I put it out there just like that. You know, I voted, you know, against banning the weapons because I didn't think anything was going to happen. So after I vote, the first two mass shootings occur. You never have one person shot with these automatic weapons. You never have these happen with these assault rifles. Never one person. It's always multiple people. So it might give me something to think about, but when I vote a second time, I say, nah, you know, that was an isolated incident. You know, the average person doesn't think like that. You know, we sell thousands and thousands of assault rifles. And, you know, one out of, you know, 993, you know, you can't win them all. So I vote that we don't ban them. And when I vote again, 2-3 years down the line, two more mass shootings take place. And then it happens again. Well, at this point, somebody needs to take responsibility and accountability. It can't just be the shooter because, just like Brother Al said, you know, this is not all a mental illness thing. This is an evil thing. People are simply evil, and evil reigns. You know, the enemy is the prince of this world. They reign. It doesn't matter that you've sold 993 assault rifles in the year of 2023, but we only had two mass shootings where 30 people got shot in total. So you know what? In the grand scheme of things, it's not that bad. One lost life senselessly is enough to ban these assault rifles from getting in the hands of people, because when you purchase this, you may not have been psychotic, and then down the line, something happened, and, you know, you jumped off. Now, I'm not saying that nothing was ever going on wrong upstairs, but I hope you kind of get what I'm saying. You know, this here, like Brother Al said, you know, a nice analogy, you know, you have, you know, when I first got with you, I was in love. Oh, I loved you to the hills, and I bought you flowers, and I took care of you, and I wined and dined you. And then as time went on, we stopped getting along, and all of this stuff started coming out. Now you're out here dating someone else because we're not together. You don't want me no more. Now I flipped my wig. Well, there was something lying dormant all along, but it took things to happen for it to come out. Well, that's what happens with people who just buy assault rifles. You and I are not going to go buy an assault rifle. Why? Because we don't have any reason to purchase an assault rifle. Something has to be wrong upstairs, even a little wrong, if you want to say it like that, for you to just buy an assault rifle. Something is lying dormant upstairs. So we need to make sure that somebody is held responsible outside of the shooter, outside of the seller. And our prayer is that we get to that point. And knowing that with God all things are possible, I'm not going to limit the fact that this will never happen. Will it take? I might be dead and gone. But we didn't think, because we haven't heard this happening before. No one has come out publicly and said, you know what, I really didn't rethought this thing. And I don't think we need to be selling these assault rifles because, you know what, I didn't think it was going to hit that close to home. But now that it has, you know what, let me just ban it. No one has been honest enough to say that. you know, we don't know how many people have felt this way, and now when they go back to the table, they may have voted against, you know, this selling of these assault rifles. We don't know because it's not out here. But he was willing to say, I goofed. And you know what? It took till I got close to home. You know, it got close to home. You know, I think it was Brother Al who said he might as well just say it. Well, he did. He just didn't use those words. He did. He did say it didn't matter until it became my neighbor, my neighbor's kid. It didn't happen to my family, but it happened to my child's or my grandchild's classmate. Or it happened to, you know, the local bar owner. He's had that bar for 25 years. He's a good guy. And now all of a sudden, because somebody crazy comes through, they're going to die. So he did. He did actually say it, just didn't use those words. So we didn't think this was going to happen. We always say, well, not until it reaches home. But it just doesn't seem to reach home enough, where enough of them can turn their decision around. Sometimes it's not until they get out of office that this stuff happens. So their vote doesn't even matter anymore because they're no longer voting. And when they voted, it was for yes. It wasn't for no. So, you know, we go through cycles of regret, remorse, cycles of I didn't really thought this thing out, or cycles of reality didn't hit. And then I realized that something isn't right here. That, wow, I just didn't think it would get this bad. Well, we don't know. We don't know. Maybe it'll hit somebody who can make this decision to hold other politicians or the voters. You know, maybe it'll hit them in their family or close to home or in their neighborhood where they would now say, you know what, if you had not voted, then this would not have happened. So now we're going to hold you responsible. I'm not going to say that it'll never happen. You know, my prayer, your prayer, our prayer, if we continue to hold hands and whole hearts and give these issues to the Lord, and the Bible speaks of this. He says, if all who are called by my name, if they will turn from their wicked and evil ways, then I will heal the land. So it's not going to be just, you know, everybody in the room changing. It's going to have to be Stephanie who makes the change. And because Stephanie makes the change, Shanti, Shonice, and Tamasia make the change. And because they make the change, Mariah makes the change. And because Mariah makes the change, her classmates make the change. When we start making the change individually, then we start making a change as a whole. And with that, when God begins to see that we want to change, not just one. Remember, when that land changed, he forgave. He said, I will not punish. I will not, you know, turn, you know, I will not put my wrath on you. So, you know what, we want God to get to the point where we don't feel his wrath, but he makes the change that needs to be made. You've been listening to It's Due Time with Pastor Steph. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. where we discuss matters of the heart, mind, and spirit as you go through your day. Be sure to set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. They will only serve as a distraction. Remember, prayer changes things. It's Pastor Steph signing off, and I want to thank my Due Time crew, our men, for sending us into a thought-provoking weekend. Thank you for hanging out with us all week. Please do not miss this opportunity to give Christ your life right now. If you've already given your life to Christ, please do not miss this opportunity to strengthen that relationship with the Lord, because today, tonight, tomorrow is not promised to any of us. Until Monday, God spares, where we'll be shaking the Monday morning blues all over again, I love you.